Quick reminder, I've got the Jim Rohn podcast, which I do generally every single Wednesday. It's going to push out after the program today. Sometimes I tell you, listen to it. It's awesome. How do I know? I've already done it. This one I have not done, but I suspect it will be awesome. Ronda Rousey is my guest. Haven't connected with Ronda in a moment or two, so I'm really looking forward to that. That's coming up after the program today. Busy Wednesday. Right now, we're on the clock and efforting Mac Brown, one of my favorites. I think we found him. We'll have that for you momentarily. In the meantime, crazy day, wild day, lots going on. A lifetime ban in the NBA.
For life.
Zion is not going to go Friday night. Got hurt last night, and the Zion haters are out saying, see, that's what happens. I actually feel badly for the guy. Yes, he was out of shape for a long time. Yes, he was injured. No, he was not available. But he got into shape, was playing lights out, was having an incredible game last night, brought his team back against the Lakers, tied the game late, only to go down, and now he's going to catch a lot of heat yet again. As promised, we're joined right now by the head football coach at North Carolina. He has now coached five seasons in his second stint at Chapel Hill. He is the winningest coach in program history. He previously served as head coach at Texas for 16 years, where he won a national championship in 2005. A two-time National Coach of the Year. A two-time Big 12 Coach of the Year. The 1996 ACC Coach of the Year. A member of the College Football Hall of Fame. Last year, the Tar Heels won 8 games. They played in the Duke's Mayo Bowl. They open up their season against Minnesota on August 29th. We are joined by Mac Brown. Mac, my friend, it is always a treat to visit with you. How are things, Mac?
Jim, I am great, and it's always great to be on your show. I love you. I love what you stand for, and you and I have been dear friends for many years, so this is always a something I look forward to.
Mac, you said it better than me, and I love you back. Absolutely. So let me ask you this, Mac. As somebody who spent a lifetime in football, how much of a sense of renewal do you feel during spring practice as you get to reconnect with your team, get in some valuable work right ahead of the spring game that's coming up on this Saturday?
Jim, I love it. I think it recharges me because it's the start of your new family, your start of your new team. Unlike the NFL, we're a different team every year. We've got 30 new players that will play in the spring game this weekend. So you're always trying to fix things. So here we are sitting here with our problems, and why haven't we finished the season well? Why didn't this work? Why aren't we playing more players? Why do we have too many penalties? And that's what spring's about. You give a harsh evaluation, self-evaluation. You try to figure out what you're doing well and expand on that, but you want to make sure that you're fixing the things that aren't working. Coach Bowden used to tell me if the worst thing you can ever do is continue to practice a mistake. And that's the things we do in our lives. We got to take things that aren't doing well and we got to fix them. And that's what spring's about.
I like that. Mac Brown joining us. You know, when you talk about self-evaluation, Mac, you know I'm always fascinated by your approach and your process. At the end of every single year, before you evaluate your team, do you evaluate yourself?
Absolutely. And I even ask our coaches to. And I'll talk to friends in the business and say, we're doing this. How are you doing this? How are you handling this NIL stuff? How are you handling the transfer portal? And then I've got kind of a self-made board of about 7 or 8 people that are very successful, Jim, that I trust, that'll tell me the truth, whether I like it or not. And I will bounce things off them. And that's just something I've always done. I've always tried to be more critical on me than anybody else.
I love that, Mac, that you've got a board of 7 or 8 people. Are they inside the sport, outside the sport, or maybe a combination of both?
They're both. I was so lucky for many years, Jim, that the older coaches took care of me. And I would call and ask hard questions, and they would all tell me the truth. So whether it was Coach Paterno, Coach Royal, Coach Bowden, Coach Schimbeckler, Lou Holtz, Coach Holtz, they would always pick up the phone, call me right back, and say no. And they'd always say, boy, hey, do it this way. And I loved it. So now I'm kind of the older guy, so I've really transformed that board more to very successful people that are involved closely with the Texas football program or the North Carolina football program. So they know who we are. They know what the expectations are. They know the resources we have. And they can help me work through my problems.
Mac Brown joining us. Mac, I know that you would be thrilled to give that back and pay that back. My question is, are the younger coaches today making that same phone call to you?
A lot of them are. And that's I came back to coaching because I miss the players. And when you can change somebody's life every day, what a gift. And you get up every morning with a purpose. And that's been my purpose my whole life. But now I can also give back to younger coaches. So especially when there's probably more changes to our game in my last 3 years than my first 47. So we're all working through this together. But things are different than when I started. It's better and harder now. Coaches are getting paid a lot more. There's a lot less patience. With social media, everything you say and do is out there every minute of every day. Your publicity is national if you're any good at all. And everything you say, you have to be smart, you have to be careful. And coaches are too sensitive. I learned through the media that you have a hard job, and your job is to find things that other people have not been able to discover or talk about, and you talk about them because that's who you are. You've got friends all over the place. And I've told coaches they're not after you. They've got a hard job, and they're trying to do their job. They're trying to get listeners. They're trying to get readers. And that's not a bad thing. That's what they do. That's what they do for a living. So you worry about your job and don't worry about them. So hopefully some of the things I've messed up in my life, the things we all messed up, we try to get our children not to mess up, our grandchildren not to do, that they can learn from our mistakes. And the same thing with younger coaches.
We're talking to Mac Brown. You know, Mac, I'm trying to talk to you about your team and your players, but it's so interesting. All of this, as always, is so interesting. I think the advice that you just had for other coaches applies to everybody in every walk of life. Just worry about your job and don't worry about the others and what they're doing. Just worry about yourself and don't worry about the others. You know, it's interesting that you mentioned that the job is so much different right now and it's so much more difficult. The media certainly is part of that, but then again, it's because of the changing landscape as well. We've seen head coaches retire. We've seen head coaches go to the NFL. We've seen head coaches even stay in the college game, Mac, but take a coordinator's position. Because you are one of the longest tenured coaches in the country and an icon of the game, how do you feel about that changing landscape and your position within it? Do you have the same passion, the same love, and the same energy that you always have brought to it?
I've probably got the same passion, the same love, and more energy because I know I'm 72. And every day somebody says I'm going to quit. And I think they think if I had any sense, I'd quit. That's probably what they're saying. But I've taken that, Jim, as a compliment. If they want me to quit, then they must think I'm doing something good. So that's what I tell all the coaches. Six of them were fired that were telling all the recruits I was going to quit, so they better start worrying about themselves. But I get up every day, and I love to take issues and negatives and turn them into positives. And right now, the game of football has never been better. People are loving watching it. The ratings are up. The stadiums are full. We finally got a playoff system like everybody else in sports has got. Kids are getting paid, and they should. You can transfer if you're not playing, so that's good for kids. It's healthy. The combination of the transfer portal and NIL at the same time and people tampering is not good. I mean, you shouldn't be able to buy somebody off somebody else's campus. So we've got some things we've got to tweak, but right now I get excited about helping our coaches and our guys get through these turbulent times. We said you could either pout about COVID or you could be the best at handling COVID and moving forward. That's when you were going to win. It gave the ones that were more organized and made better decisions a chance to win. Same thing now. It's a little tougher because the ones that have the most money are recruiting the best players. So since we aren't in that group, what we've got to do is make sure that we recruit a right guy that wants to be here for education, that's not going to ask for a bag of money coming in, and he's also not going to leave for a bag of money 2 years later when he becomes a great player. So that's different for us. It doesn't mean it's bad. It doesn't mean we can sit around and whine about it. It's not an excuse, But it gets me up early every morning trying to figure out how we can take who we are and still compete at the highest level.
Mac Brown joining us once again. So, Mac, when you talk about having 30 new players, for instance, obviously you're going to focus on a number of different positions, but including the quarterback position, because Drake May is moving on to the NFL as a top draft prospect, you know, any potential first-round pick, and we just touched on this, but any potential first-round pick is going to be heavily scrutinized. But given his outstanding play for you and all the positives surrounding him and his approach, are you surprised that he's had to face this scrutiny and questions about his readiness for the pros? And what's your reaction?
Well, Jim, this is my 50th draft as a coach. So I've sat and listened to this many, many years, and a lot of people are saying that he's a great prospect. He is a generational prospect. He's going to win a Super Bowl. He's perfect. And a few stand up and get a little attention saying he'll get somebody fired. Really and truly, what I do is I take it all as a grain of salt. Like we said, some people do it for attention. Some people probably just think, hadn't studied it as much. He is a great prospect, not a good prospect. And they're not going to pay somebody that much money and be a number one pick. But in the draft, some people like to throw shade on players because they'd like for other people to back off, and they've got a better chance to draft them at their spot. Some people like to get attention because if you take the opposite approach completely than everybody else, then everybody's going to be talking about you and call your name, and that's what they wanted. So we actually have Brian Simmons, who was a number one draft choice for me here as a linebacker, played a long time in the NFL, and then was an eight-year pro scout. He runs our NFL liaison program to meet with the scouts and meet with the general managers and the owners and the coaches. We have Freddie Kitchens on our staff, who was the head coach at the Cleveland Browns. We have Clyde Christensen, who coached Tom Brady and Peyton Manning and Oliver Luck and some of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play. And we've got Ted Monachino, who won a Super Bowl at the Ravens and then was defensive coordinator at Indianapolis Colts. So we have those three guys meet with all of our draft-eligible guys and tell them exactly what happens in the draft. Here's what's going to happen at the combine. Here's what they're going to look at. Here's what you should do, your expectations. Here's what they're going to do at pro day. Here's what's going to happen when a scout comes in or a coach comes in to try you out. Here's what he's going to ask you, and here are the expectations he wants. And then we did it last night. Guys, here's what's going to happen at the draft. Here's how you should handle it. Here's what's going to happen. Here's what's happening in those rooms. And some kids would say, well, do we sit by the phone? Yes, because if you don't answer the phone, they're going to somebody else if you're a free agent. Well, what do we wear when do we have to go after we're drafted? What do we wear? Where do we stay? Do we have to have a hotel? Do we have to have an apartment? So these are invaluable questions that our coaches with experience can help these guys understand the draft, and then they would talk to Drake in that light about, oh, this happens every year. The highest drafted and rated players are going to have the most scrutiny, and somebody is going to take the opposite side, so don't worry about it. Just move on and continue to be you.
Mac Brown joining us. That is so interesting. So, Mac, before you leave us, what about Drake? I mean, you know him better than anybody, and I think you laid this out perfectly, right? There are certain people saying certain things to get people to look at them, and it can be any number of reasons, but you know, what do you believe are his greatest strengths that do, in fact, make him not a good but a great prospect and a potential franchise QB in the NFL?
Well, to start with, Jim, if his mom and dad would let me, I'd adopt him. He is a great person. He's competitive. He's grown up in an athletic family. His mom was a college athlete. His dad was the leading passer in the ACC. He's got two brothers that won national championships, one in baseball at Florida and one at basketball here. He's got another brother that was on our basketball team. He's the youngest of four, so he's been beaten up. He had to fight to get a chicken leg at the table. So he's so competitive in everything he does. He's smart. He's got pride. He is so passionate about football that he does everything right in his life to make sure that he's going to play the best he can play. If there's a negative for him, he's played 2 years. Most of these guys have played 5 and 6 years because of COVID. He's only had two. So what I see in that is he's accomplished National Player of the Year in only 2 years. What he's got is the upside is unbelievable because he can improve so much every year. And I don't think there's any question. You got to get with the right team. You got to have the right coaches. But he's a guy that can win a Super Bowl at quarterback.
Situation and fit are so important, Mac. I agree with you. You know, most of all, I'm so encouraged, not that I needed to hear this from you because I already knew, but I'm so encouraged that you shot down those reports and again did so today that you're not going anywhere. I got this weird thing, Mac, about you and I. As you point out at the very top, you and I are longtime friends. We go way back. I don't want to see you stepping away because then I feel like we have to go out together and I don't want to step away yet. So don't go anywhere, Mac. Your energy is great. Your intellect is great. You have lost nothing whatsoever. I don't need you stepping away right now because I can't step away right now.
Well, you got to say the same thing because you bring it every day. Man, you've done it for a long time, and I love listening to you. So let's just make a pact. We're both going to keep fighting them, and all those haters out there are going to say you and I are quitting too, so we'll just let them do it, and then they'll get fired, and we'll just get the next one.
Man, you're the absolute best, Mac. I do love you. I appreciate you, Mac. I appreciate the friendship, the relationship, and I always know that I'm going to get a very thought-provoking conversation that's going to be great for the show and our audience. Mac, great to have you on. Thank you very much. You know I appreciate you.
Well, thank you, Jim. And you know, anytime you call, I'm on.
I know it. I know that, Mac. And I appreciate it so much. Mac Brown. Hey, look, I don't play favorites. Mac Brown's my favorite. He's just one of my all-time favorites. I'm just always amazed by his intellect and his energy and his edge, by the way. His edge. Hey, haters, I'm still here. I'm not going anywhere. Rome and I are both still here. It's always a fascinating conversation. And by the way, as one of the most tenured guys in the sport, as an icon of the sport, as somebody who went into the Hall of Fame years ago, I mean, not only is he not, quote, out of touch, not only has the game not passed Mac by, Mac is as sharp to me as he's ever been. Thanks, Ali. Intellectually, mentally, physically, energy, man, the right energy. And competitive. And all about the right stuff. I find him to be fascinating. I love those conversations. And I try and pick my spots. I don't want to go to that well too often. I just find him to be so interesting and thought-provoking and inspiring, man. He always pumps me up with what he has to say. Just motivates me, honestly. 1-800-636-8686. I love that breakdown, too, about what's said in draft season. Like, why what is said is said. Obviously, there are certain teams, they're going to throw shade on guys because they want that guy. Obviously, there are going to be certain people who say certain things and go the other way to get you to look at them and talk about them. We understand that, too. And also, wasn't that interesting when he said, as a member of the media, when I was not coaching, and then I went into the media, I had a better understanding that the media also has a job to do, and coaches are too sensitive. Thought that was interesting. All right, so let me reset you. We are open the rest of the way. You can talk about what you just heard. You could talk about Zion being out on Friday night. Bad break for him. You want to talk about the haters. Here come all the pion references yet again. You know, I could try to make the argument to some of you haters that, dude, the guy got in great shape. The guy was playing the great ball of his life. But those of you who have already made up your mind about that guy will say, yeah, well, of course he tweaked that same hammy because the hammy that he tweaked was a pre-existing condition that was a result of him being fat in the first place when he shouldn't have been fat. So, of course, he got hurt again. That's who he is. And I would argue that, no, but yes, he didn't take care of himself. Yes, your body is your moneymaker. Yes, body is temple. Yes, there's never an excuse for somebody who makes a living with their body to be that out of the shape. Yes, all fair. But he finally realized it, cut the weight, was playing lights out, and it's a bad break. But a lot of you doctors and nutritionalists want to say, no, dude, it's actually because He was previously fat. So it's a chronic condition created by his initial fatness. I don't know. I actually feel badly for him and them because he did do the work. Weigh in on that. No pun intended. Lakers get out of the play-in round, and they're rewarded with the opportunity to get slapped by the Nuggets again, and they will be. Just don't tell that to the Ham. The Ham was feeling the Ham.
We with all the smoke, and we ain't ducking no fades.
Great line. I wish you could back it up, but great line. I'll give you that. Great line. I think you have no chance of backing it up personally, but great line. Haven't even talked about Frisco Fan. There was a battle up north last night, and Sacramento not only got over, but they smacked Golden State. Dude, how good did that feel? And Golden State fan, yo, lo siento, hermanos. And I love Golden State, but man, that was something. And by something, I mean that hurt. Like, ouch. They smacked you. And if that's the way that dynasty's going to end, damn, brah. I need something to toke on now. That was bad. I feel badly for Clay. I feel badly for Steph. I mean, dynasty over, yo. But you know what? Light the beam. Man, light that beam. That was a beatdown. That had to feel good. I haven't even broken that down completely yet. Also, what about the hood? What is your reaction to that ESPN piece that the hood thought that he had that Atlanta Falcons job wrapped up right up until the last moment when Raheem Morris got the job? And again, I want to say for the record, they got the right guy. But this inside story as to why that went south for the hood is really something else. And that Bob Kraft might be one of the reasons, if not the reason.
I can't say how much I love that Bill Belichick needed references. Yeah, maybe it wasn't a matter of, hey, Bill, I'm looking at your resume here, and I'm looking at your references. But very clearly, even a billionaire like Arthur Blank is going to get on the phone, and he's going to call his other billionaire buddy, Bobby, and say, yo, Bobby, Art, good idea or bad idea? What do you think of Bill? Glad you called, Arthur. And then he let him know what he thought about him. And it was nothing good, according to this piece. All of that. And we got the playing games in the East, which I haven't even gotten to yet. That kind of day. Do you have a car problem, but you're not sure where to go? Maybe you are miles away from home when your car breaks down. Let O'Reilly Auto Parts help. With O'Reilly Auto Parts shop referral program, take the guesswork out of finding a great shop wherever you are. Call an O'Reilly location near you or visit O'ReillyAuto.com and click find a repair shop to find a reputable repair facility or service center nearby for those repairs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
My thanks to Mac Brown. I like him a lot, can't you tell? Love Mac Brown. I've always loved Mac Brown. All right, welcome back. A couple quick things for you. Remember, Ronda Rousey is my guest on the Jim Rome podcast. I've been doing that podcast for years. That's how you get to over 300. Like that Star Wars nerd. Do the math. If I do one a week, and I've worked, you know, 46 weeks for the last several years, and I've already done 309 of these podcasts. Do the math. Doing it for years. Ronda Rousey later on today. The ones get it done. Grainger is offering supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product experts ready to answer your toughest questions. Call or click Grainger.com or stop on by. Let's get a quick phone call in here. Why don't we go to Hartford? Mike in Hartford. It's good to have you. Mike, how are you?
Hey, Jim. Thanks so much for having time to take a call. Hey, listen. I'm listening to you guys, all, and everyone seems to forget what six Super Bowl rings means. And Arthur Blank. Let me ask you a question, Jim. How many winning seasons does the Falcons have in 10 years, the last 10 years, going back? Going back since 2012. The answer in the article, of course, said 3, too. This guy, Arthur Blank, man, 28-3. Please, across the league, everyone, show some respect to head coach Bill Belichick. Six titles. He deserves a job. And this guy, Morris, will be a laughingstock in 2 years when he's fired. I heard you say you got to worry about Belichick trying to get 15 wins in 2 years. How about you get wins to begin with? Jim, Rome, I'm out.
Oh, man. Nice job, Mike. I don't agree with anything you just said, but I like the attitude. I like the energy. Bumpy start. You leveled out. You hung up on me. I like it. I don't agree with any of it, but I like it. Hey, my man. First of all, respect. Yes, I'll put some respect on the man's name. He did win six rings. And notice I'm not saying he didn't do jack. Brady got it all. I'm not saying that at all. He's a fraud. I'm not saying that at all. I've been saying he's a cheater. I didn't even say that. I've been saying, like, the alleged GOAT, 15 wins away. Absolutely, I will put some respect on Bill Belichick's name. That said, full stop. Let that breathe. Full stop. That said, nobody hired him. That said, Arthur Blank didn't hire him. That said, one of the reasons, according to this column, that Arthur Blank did not hire him is because Bob Kraft warned him about him and said, don't trust him. And he's very, very, very arrogant. Why are you so angry with me? I'm not the one that told Arthur Blank that Bill Belichick is not trustworthy. I'm not the one that said he's very, very, very arrogant. You know who did that? The guy that he won six rings with did that. Not me. And one more thing. You know, your whole point about what have they won? Arthur Blank will regret this. I really don't think that he will. I really don't think that he will, because one other point in that column that I thought was very pertinent was the fact that Arthur Blank does not like confrontation. Arthur Blank hates hiring coaches. He hates the hiring process. And I don't know if there's any disputing this, unless the Hood himself would tell you otherwise. There is this sense around the league, he's just in it to get the record, and then he's out. The guy is 73. How much longer do you think the guy can do it, much less wants to do it? So if Arthur Blank, here's my point. If Arthur Blank, quote, hates hiring coaches and hates going through that process, why would he want to go through that process again in 2 years if it's only going to take him 2 years to get that record? He wouldn't. Therefore, Arthur Blank is not going to regret passing on Bill Belichick. I really don't think so. The other thing is, Arthur Blank knows Raheem Morris. Raheem Morris was within that organization for several years. They know him. They love him. Raheem Morris was like a prodigy. The guy was an NFL head coach at age 30. And then he got fired, got back in line, learned the craft, grew, evolved, matured, and earned another shot. I had him on the show after he got that, man. This is a different cat. This dude is amazing. His football acumen has never been questioned. But his ability to lead, his ability to motivate, his energy, trust me, you spend any time with Raheem Morris, you want to work with him, you want to work for him, you want to be a part of that process. I'm not at all surprised that they decided on him. The surprise would have been if they didn't. A Patriot fan, I know you want your old man to get more respect than he's getting, but this is not an Arthur Blank thing. This is not a Falcons thing. Hell, he got further down the road with the Falcons than anybody else. There were plenty of other teams that had openings that wanted nothing to do with him. This is not a Blank thing. Don't put this on Arthur Blank. Nobody wanted to hire him. This is a league thing, Patriot fan. Butthurt Patriot fan. It's not a Rome thing. It's not a Blank thing. It's an NFL thing. It's a Hood thing. They don't think that he can change. And why would you change everything for that guy? You know what's also important, aside from those six rings? What he's done in recent years. Nothing. His ability to draft, his ability to sign free agents, his ability to, quote, build the culture, his ability to motivate, his ability to hire a staff. You want to know what's very, very, very arrogant? Thinking that Matt the Pencil can run an offense. Thinking that Joe the Judge of Men could come in and be a part of a staff and make things better. Thinking that those guys could coach a young quarterback who had a great rookie year and then just turned right into garbage. That's arrogant, man. That's really arrogant. There's a reason why this guy didn't get an opportunity. And the fact that he didn't get an opportunity makes me think that he'll be even less likely to get an opportunity next year. Especially, here's the other problem he's going to face. Especially, according to this column, Belichick made it clear to the Falcons brass, it's not what you think. I don't need total control. I just want to coach. I just want to coach. Even if he goes in there and he says, hey, listen. Don't get this twisted. Man, I'm just here to coach. People aren't going to buy it. They're not going to believe it. Because of the way he is, because of the way he's always done things, they don't believe he's going to change. And it sure as hell isn't helping that the owner that he had all that success with is calling people saying, yo, don't trust him. Like, he and his kid don't trust the guy that they won six rings with. How you can overcome that? What, if Bob Kraft's word doesn't matter? He employed him for a quarter of a century. He won six rings with him. You don't think what Bob Kraft had to say matters? The Hood is going to have to overcome quite a bit to get that job. So where does he think he fits? In the NFC East. The Eagles, they might be looking for a coach. The Cowboys, they might be looking for a coach. I don't know. I think this guy may have already coached his last game. His beloved Giants. His beloved Giants. Hey, listen. Whoever hires this guy, it's short term. Do you really want to blow it all up just so you can get that guy for 2 years? Seems to me, if you're that close to a championship, maybe. But if you're that close to a championship, you don't need to make a coaching change. The teams that made coaching changes suck. So you think this guy wants to be there for a rebuild? No, he wants to be there and win 15 games and get the hell out. How does that benefit the organization? It doesn't. It benefits the guy who wants the record. Jarrah makes sense because Jarrah loves the attention. It'd be a freaking circus, and Jarrah would love that. So Jarrah does make sense. That's about it. And he could have this year and didn't. And I think that as Jarrah gets older and older, he's less resistant, or more resistant, I should say, to that type of change. Why do you think he keeps bringing back McCarthy? Anyway, didn't mean to go all that far out, but Patriot fan calling in and saying, oh man, let me tell you something, Jim Rome. Let me tell you something, Arthur Blank. You're going to regret this. Actually, I don't think either I or Artie are going to regret this. But I still like to call him Mike. But I still appreciate the energy, Mike. Because you know what? I'm about energy. I'm about the energy, Mike. You know what? I'm also about ATPs. I need ATPs. Bring them.
hit me up with an Ask the Pros question. Get up in here with an Ask the Pros question. Man, how important is it to feel good? It affects everything. Then you get your true experience in life when you feel good. It's so important. Relief Factor knows that. And Relief Factor can help you feel better in your everyday life. What Relief Factor is a daily supplement that helps your body fight back against occasional minor pain. Relief Factor, 100% drug-free. I love that. And developed by doctors searching for a better alternative for relieving pain. I love that, too. I'm talking neck pain, back pain, joint or muscle pain. Relief Factor can help you feel better. Relief Factor does not just mask pain for a short time. It helps to reduce or even eliminate it. Relief Factor helps support your body's natural response to inflammation. That is so key. In 3 weeks or less, you'll know it. If it's working, you'll know it because you'll feel the difference all day, every day. I was sent Relief Factor to try out myself, and I've been using it every single day. I feel a difference. Over 1 million people, 1 million, have tried Relief Factor. Try it yourself. Visit ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF and save on your first order. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. These products and statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are... ATP, Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Brody in Oregon asks, who is that saying, AD, what's good?
AD, what's good, baby?
In the AD, what's good drop. Very quickly, some background. I do not want to get on the wrong side of DeMarcus Cousins because I like DeMarcus Cousins. I'm Team Boogie. However, with that said, I do not want to get on the wrong side of that big fella. He and I are good, or at least I'm good with him. I don't know if he's good with me. We were when we met in Las Vegas. It was in 2017 at Staples. A couple of these dudes were heckling Boogie and asking AD what's good. In a game where Boogie went off, by the way, he was 26 and 15 in a win. But this is the full cut of these two dudes going in, and it is a pretty amazing heckle.
Tee him up, ref! Oh, ref, tee him up. That's a delay of giving.
Hey, ref, do your job, man. Come on.
Hey, Alvin, why is Boogie so fat?
Tee him up,
ref!
AD, what's good, baby? Hey. AD was just staring at y'all.
What happened, fat boy? Fouled out?
Cousins, what's good?
Baby, heal it.
Fat boy, how many you got, baby?
Baby, heal it.
What's good, fat boy? Fat boy! Fat boy!
Donuts, baby, donuts.
Fat boy!
We got donuts. Milk and donuts, fat boy.
Hey, fat boy, I got some donuts for you.
Krispy Kreme, fat boy.
I mean, dude, find me a better heckle. That is incredible.
Fat boy.
Meantime, quote, fat boy.
Let's go, fat boy.
Again, went off 26 and 15 that night.
Krispy Kreme, fat boy.
These guys just going in on Boogie, and he's just looking back at him.
Fat
it goes
boy,
on and on
got,
and on.
Hey,
Krispy
Kreme.
I got donuts. We got some donuts for you. AD, what's good?
AD, what's good, baby?
And this dude's voice is so incredible, isn't
hey,
it?
Hey, Alvin, why is Boogie so fat?
Hey, Alvin, why is Boogie so fat?
Fat boy!
I mean, I
hey,
know y'all wanted
boy,
it, but you're lucky Boogie didn't go looking for a piece of either or all of
fat
you.
Fat boy, how many you got, baby?
26 is how many he had.
Fat boy!
And 15 boards.
Fat boy!
Anyway, Boogie, I got your back, man. But you got to admit, that was an amazing heckle. Those dudes were unbelievable.
Fat boy!
Especially that guy.
Anyway, that's that famous drop. His pipes alone. And the way he throws it, 80, what's good, baby?
Fat boy, how many you got, baby?
Brody in Oregon saying, who is that saying 80, what's good? I don't know. I've never known, but I've always wanted to know. Like, I want to be friends with that guy.
Fat boy!
I want to hang out with that guy. That guy cracks me up.
What's good, fat boy?
Brian in San Pedro. Jim, has there ever been anyone you've interviewed that shocked you when they revealed that they were a clone? Hashtag ask the pros. Hashtag ATP. Yes. My man Nick Caserio, the legend. Nick not only said it, Nick wears it with pride. Nick, not only is he like the best executive in the NFL right now, he'll just say it. I'm a clone.
Jim, thanks for having me. Really appreciate it. Forgot to mention fellow clone on that introduction.
Fellow clone. Full-blown clone. This is not like a underground clone. A stealth clone. My man's wearing it proudly. Yeah, I'm a clone. Not only that, Nick, you're the best executive in the NFL.
Great job to you, Alan.
He's talking about Alan. You think he knows the show very well? He went with an Alan crack.
Great job to you, Alan.
Great job to you, Nick. Nick Caserio, if you need him, and we all do. Is your vehicle no longer stopping like it used to? Restore your braking performance and save when you buy Brake Best Select. Brake Best Select Pro or import direct brake pads and rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Now we're done. My thanks to Terrion Arnold. He'll go in the first round. Mac Brown, legend. I've got the Jim Rome podcast, which we are going to do shortly. And that will push out later on. Ronda Rousey is going to be my guest. Look for that. My thanks to the XR4TI. Clones, we'll have a beef segment for you tomorrow and more. See you then. We're out.